Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals, only at Smoothie King.
She goes, well, how do you like people to refer to you? And I was like, as a huge fucking faggot.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? It is me, Eric Williams, and it is a gorgeous week to have Dan Grossi Pelosi back on the podcast. His last episode is one of the most downloaded we've had, and this one, I fear, will even beat that wreck. We not only discuss the new incredible book that I had the pleasure of getting an advanced copy of, but we also get into a new gay ass question for returning gay ass members. And I cannot wait for you to hear the stunning response. I want to thank you for the messages about last week's episode with Charles and the psilocy journeys, the shroomies, if you will. Such incredible, generous messages about people's interest in the journeys, but also people have actually reached out to Charles about doing them with him, even from out of LA. So I just want to thank you all and encourage you to continue to look into it if it sounds interesting or helpful to you, because it's been incredible for me. I also must give a public shout out to my friend Dee, who is getting married this weekend to their incredible, gorgeous fiance, Sasha. This friend, Dee, not only did we come out to each other 1 year apart growing up in St. Louis, Mo, but Dee is the person who showed me Sister Act 2. So I guess you made me gay, beach. I love you so much. This wedding is going to be stunning. And yeah, your cute friend will be there and I will be flirting. Let's get into this episode of That's a Gay Ass Podcast. A few of you have asked the best way to support, and I would say not only is it sharing the episode with people you love, but the Patreon is a gorgeous way to, with only $5 a month, get advanced episodes without ads and support this gay ass venture. Also, thank you for buying tickets to That's a Gay Ass live show in LA. We are going to sell out very soon, so if you've not yet received yours, I would do that. The lineup is stunning with Danny Franzese from Mean Girls, Tien Tran from How I Met Your Father, and we have Jason Michael Snow, the original Broadway company of Book of Mormon, along with Meatball, the drag nuisance. Enjoy this episode, enjoy Dan Grossi Pelosi, and yes, enjoy the conversations we have about eating ass. Bye. Live from New York, it's Grossi Pelosi. Dan Pelosi has made a return to Guts a Gay Ass Podcast, but things have changed, Dan. You're a star, you're an icon, and I adore seeing you any chance I can get.
Oh my gosh, remind me your name. Sorry. Sorry.
I should have started.
Sorry, what is this? My management team just threw me into this. I'm so sorry. I'm just totally unprepared.
Yeah, sorry. They were supposed to prep you.
Hi, baby. How are you?
I can't wait till the day that you win a Pulitzer and then you can really forget who I am.
A Pulitzer?
Yeah, haven't you heard?
I might win like a magic bullet, but I don't know about a Pulitzer.
Wait, what is that? Is that a thing that makes your pussy go?
No, a magic bullet's like a blender. It's a blender.
Oh, sure. I was going more for a sex toy. You were going for food, and that's why.
It was
why.
A weird thing to say. I'll give myself credit for that. I don't know where I came up with it, but it happened. So.
But I think this is why I love us, because every time we're together, we just meet each other where we are. And how beautiful is that?
It's really so pretty. It's so pretty.
Wait, can you tell me, like, truly, I know that we're on a recording, but tell me, you did That's a Gay Ass live show in New York. You walked away feeling what?
I'm so glad we are starting at the top of this, because I have so many questions. First of all, did I bomb my lip sync?
No. Why would you ask that?
Because first of all, I would imagine I did, because I chose the stupidest lip sync and the hardest lip sync in the world. Like,
I resent that, because you chose a Parker Posey Waiting for Guffman. Was it the hardest thing to do? Sure. But what's the sheer choice of it? You did the
I did the, like, people come to the DQ, you know, they're thirsty.
Just come but and get a Coke if you're thirsty. Yeah.
But like the subtlety of that performance and the timing was so hard. Kevin J. Zach was like, I got this down. I was like, of course you do. You're screaming the whole time. Like, obviously, like, shut up. I'll eat your ass. But like, we get it. Like, Kevin J. Zach. Also, yeah, like, congrats to her. But like, I chose a really hard lip sync. Also, I nailed the Q&A.
I think you nailed every aspect, but I think that, you know, Kevin was there to take no prisoners, and I think that eventually the thesis statement is that we all want to eat his ass.
We do want to all eat. Everyone held hands together that evening, yeah, and was like, his ass will be eaten. Also, I came in third, which I haven't decided if I'm going to bring that up with you. I'm just saying it out loud.
No, think on it. Think on it for a second if you're going to bring it up or not.
Yeah.
I do want to let you know that you were a part of a show that was, dare I say, the best one we've done so far.
Really?
And so, yeah.
Oh, wow. Now you're serving me what I want to eat. Okay, cool. That's so nice, honestly.
It really is. And it makes me feel like, you know, I'm choosing children, but the New York show was ultimately magic, and you were a part of that. So
I had a great time, and those cutie little podcast gays were so sweet, and I loved the gal whose name I don't remember, who also was in the lip sync, character actress. She was great.
Oh, Millie Tamaras. Yeah, Millie Tamaras chose the most random character actress that no one had heard of, Beth Grant. But I want to let you and the listeners know that I lied last week. I'm telling you, Dan, that I'm coming back to New York in November to do the show again.
Great.
But it's for the New York Comedy Festival, and they were like, yeah, this is the announcement date. It was supposed to be today. It's now not till September. Oh. But sorry, everyone. It's happening in early November.
Anywho. As someone who just announced like a 21-stop book tour with like all kinds of fun things like broken links, misinformation, confusing vendor websites, I hear you, girl.
I did see when you posted and you were like, thanks for bearing. Where does your mind go when things aren't working? What's your comfort? Is it like eating ass? Is it?
Oh, where does my mind go?
Yeah. Like, what do you, like when things are not going wrong, how do you comfort yourself?
I don't. I go into a full fucking rage and I start. Okay. And I go straight to my DMs to answer the thousands of questions from a confused, disappointed, sad following that I'm a total people pleaser, and I can't. Like, I work so hard to make everything I do clear and concise and well planned, and by things I couldn't have gotten ahead of, things just were really, it was fine after 24 hours, but it all means that people are excited and happy and just don't want to miss out. So that's
of course. And I want to know, what is it like to be in a relationship with you when you're rage DMing or rage responding to the chaos?
Well, I'm not responding with rage. I'm just raging in my head, pissed off at myself, but being lovely to people in my DMs, trying my very hardest to help them understand something that should have been far more understandable than it was.
Does Gus have to bear any of
My team, my manager and my publicist. I was a little bit on one. I never am, but I was, and it wasn't their fault. It was all of us couldn't have gotten ahead of some of the stuff. It's fine. I'm making too big of a deal out of it, but like,
no, you're not. We're also getting here because you're talking about the 3,000 city book tour you're doing. We're talking about the,
we just added one more, so it's 3,001 city book tour.
What's the 3,001st?
Well, everyone city in Philadelphia yelled at me and said, why are you skipping Philadelphia? Literally, like, there was a list in front of me and I didn't choose Philadelphia out of the whole list. And I was like, I'm not skipping it. I have two events in New York, like Cop on the Train. It's an hour. But no, we added Philadelphia, which is great.
City of brotherly complaining.
You were being lovely.
I was being lovely by saying that we're going to get into some... Wait a minute. We're both holding up. Let's eat the unbelievably gorgeous cookbook that Dan Grossi Pelosi is coming out with in mere days. And I'm going to get into some specifics about questions about the book, but I want to make this a tease because I want to get into some other pressing matters before the book. But I just wanted to hold it up with you to tell you that when I receive this in the mail, I'm not joking with you, Dan. to be a person who knows a person who has a book this gorgeous, oh. I felt like I like my heart exploded when I opened this package, and it made me get chilly willies, tears in my easies. Those are my eyes. And I just feel so proud, excited, and honored that you even cared to come back on That's a Gay Ass podcast to talk about it and to be someone in my orbit. And I just am unbelievably honored to know you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You're so sweet. I really, truly am so proud of this book. And the fact that it gave you all the feels, as they say, is the point. I mean, I wanted that to be the way that people feel, and it's happening, and it makes
it's
me so happy.
It's fucking happening. You have manifested so much, and this is why I want to have my first question for you, that we're going to get to some of the life changes that have happened, because you haven't been on the podcast in a minute, so we've got to catch up. Sure, the first question is, your bumper sticker era is over. A lot of people have been discoursing.
It's tough.
So basically, you needed to get a new car. And
so I bumper stickered the fuck out of a lease like a psychopath. So like, I leased a car in 2020 because I was like, I can go wherever I want because it's 2020. And like, we're all working from home. I was lucky enough to work from home. So I leased a car, and I've always fashioned myself sort of like a Berkshires mom. Like, I'm either in Berkeley, California, or the Berkshires, Massachusetts. And now I own a house in the Berkshires, Massachusetts, which is a whole other thing. So I was like, we're getting stickers. I need coexist. I need all the stickers, right? Like, not all who wander are lost. Like, I need all those, right? So I just like manically bought stickers on the internet and put them on my car, and it became a whole thing. And then my lease was up August 13th, 2023, which was a couple weeks ago. And I had to get some goo gone and take my bumper stickers off my car.
Did they all come off okay? Is the lease contract honored?
No one said a word. They swapped
Hell
it up.
Hell yeah.
I got my new car.
That teaches me that it's okay to be a bit messy, and I'm trying to learn that in life. Because, well, I think if you sticker a leased car, I don't know if it's mess or if it's just...
No, it's fine. It's messy, but I like to ask. Abandon. I like to ask for forgiveness later.
And you've done this your whole life.
Yeah, you do things first. I also have dimples, so like you get away with a lot.
Which, again, full circle, that helps you to hopefully eat Kevin Zach's ass.
I don't think Kevin Zach wants me to eat his ass. There was no...
But I don't... He has a... If we may talk about Kevin, I think he has like an allure of like, we don't know what he's thinking, and that's part of the sexiness.
No, I like...
I cannot believe this is a topic. I can't wait to let him know.
My vibe is like, please fill out this form, and the form says, do you want me to eat your ass, or do you not?
Check yes or no. Yeah.
Like, that's it. That's the form.
How do you react if someone says no?
That's clarity. I love clarity. Like,
is that a John Mayer song?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
just making sure. So there is one sticker that I did need to... Oh, two stickers to dive into. One is on your car. It said chicken pot pie. My three favorite things.
Yes.
Now, as another pot lover, and I know we talked about it a bit, one of my dreams that we have not yet done is going to be sitting together in your new home and getting zooted.
Zooted. And you know, I have to tell you a little something. Last weekend, I was in Maine at my friend Katie's house, and we did edibles, and I was feeling really good about 2 hours into the edible. It's been a minute since I did edibles. Usually I just smoke joints.
Yeah.
2 hours in, I was like, I think I'll take another edible.
Famous last words.
You want to know what I'm going to say? I'll tell you what I said at my own funeral if you want. Like, it was over. I called Gus. I was like, I'm dying.
I don't wish that on my worst enemy.
Horrible.
But there's something about chicken pot and pie that
all three of those things
find to be beautiful, even and as one. Is there a pie that you, if you could only save one pie, what's the only pie that you would be allowed to eat for the rest of your life?
This is so hard because my uncle, who is sort of queer, used to tell me that if he had to kill himself, he would eat a banana cream pie and then kill himself. And that sort of left an impact on me because I was like, that gives a lot of power to a banana cream pie. They're really good. But he didn't kill himself. He is not alive, but he died sadly for other reasons. This is such a weird, I gotta go. I'm out. My whole family just excommunicated me. My other favorite pie is strawberry rhubarb. There's the tartness of it, the gloopiness.
Well, you have a lot of recipes, a lot of recipes that give us so many gorgeous flavors. And speaking of flavors, the flavor of this next bumper sticker.
Sorry, I missed church. I've been practicing witchcraft and becoming a lesbian.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, Dan Grossi Pelosi, what would you say is your most lesbianic quality that you possess?
God, there's so fucking many. Wait, I was just... This weekend, I was at my friend Katie's house, and we all were drinking out of our Yetis, and they were like on the counter, her big kitchen island.
And lesbian.
I had to grab them all and line them up in a row. Like I was can we just like call the Yetis? And like I'm that person. Gus, my boyfriend, has like an amazing reel where he basically drags me, but it's like I'm the like person who's a natural manager in a rental house who's like, you know what I mean? Like the burden of being a natural manager, like that drag, that is like, is this anyone's coffee? Guys, it's like the coffee machine was on all night, like in the morning.
Oh, no. Like, do you also clear people's water glasses the non-stop. Second they set it down?
I don't even ask.
Like, you're canceled?
My parents do that.
It drives me up a wall.
Carry your fucking shit around the house with you. You leave your
water.
What
do you mean carry your shit? How dare I take up space and put my water on the counter?
That's what you're doing. You're taking up space, and as a natural manager, I will remedy the situation.
So you agree I should shrink myself for you?
Yes.
At least, hey, clarity.
Who would you rather shrink yourself for? Like, I want a lesbian to like peg the shit out of me. You know what I mean?
True.
Like, fuck me.
Not only fuck me, but like, tell me where to put shore my water glass, shore my baggage in my brain. Tell me what to do.
Tell me what, like, I always tell this to people, and I had this show on Food Chicken 2, and I go to people's houses and they teach me how to cook their recipes. And when it's a woman, I'm in a woman's house and she's ordering me around.
Nothing like it.
Ecstasy.
I said that to a friend. He like gave me a note of, oh, actually, this is going to be, listeners have heard about my mushroom trip, but my friend who does the guiding of it, he is also, I would say, how do you call yourself?
A natural manager.
He's also a natural manager. Yeah. And it makes my pussy wet because I do like to be told what to do, where to go. The only thing I don't like is the water glass removal. I just set it down. My number one anxiety is that my pee will not be clear.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, no one knows the intention behind that glass of water. So we're clearing it. It's going.
You're right. I'm asking you to read my mind and my therapist. I've tried to teach my legal spouse how you can't do that, but that's neither here nor there.
Your legal spouse. I love him.
Oh, and he loves you. I love that you got to meet in Nueva York.
So I can make out with him.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, okay, cool. Confirmed. Fully confirmed. Cool. And if you want us to print out a document that says, yes, I will do that for you.
I will need that for my lawyers.
Sure. Lawyers and team. The other, just to lean in quickly, the other bumper sticker is, my other car is a broom.
Yes.
So you are confirmed witch.
I'm a witch. Duh.
What, like it's hard?
A sandwich. No, just kidding. Can I tell you something? I do have the magnetic version of, excuse me, I'm at church becoming a lesbian or whatever.
Sure. So
that is on the car as a magnet. I'm now
and
buying.
Thank God for that.
I'm now buying magnetic. I also bought a kit where you can take stickers, put them on magnets, and put them on your car. Like, I'm crafting now.
What will they think of next with these? Did you grow up with a parent who put stickers of colleges on their car?
No, I grew up as a child who fetishized the sort of like Abercrombie and Fitch preppy nature of having like a Volkswagen or a Volvo with like four stickers from different Ivy League colleges on the back of the car. Yeah. And we had like a Ford Taurus, and I was like trying to make that happen, and it was like shitty, and it was a Ford Taurus. And
it reminds me of, listen, we all try to manifest what we want to be. I have a Christmas story that I made a stocking out of paper, and I colored it probably pretty rainbowy and faggy, but as a Jew, I did this in my parents' Jewish home, put it on our fireplace, and my mom took it down and said, we're Jewish, you can't do that.
Yeah,
we all sometimes just want to change our station, and in that moment I wanted to follow Christ.
Yeah, and you probably should have, because look at you now.
Fully burning. burning in hell. And burning. You also, speaking of burning hot, your friend Taylor, who you used to travel with all the time before you ended up buying this home, what's his deal? What's he into?
Taylor Greggs, who was at my house with me for like a week upstate.
Yeah, I was looking through your Instagram and I just wrote a note about how hot he is.
He's really cute. He's into you, actually. It's weird. He was like talking.
You know, I was just confirming.
A lot about you.
But that does bring up the topic of your new home.
Yes.
I think when I saw you in New York, you had told me about the Jernty, but then seeing it on the internet, the speed with which you took to being a homeowner.
I'm not fucking around because I'm a lesbian.
Your lesbianic content. Oh my God.
Was packed.
When did you first have the idea of like this gorgeous home? And then how many years did it take to actually like go into, what do they call it? Escrow.
So I found the house on Mother's Day. One of my followers, I've been pretty clear about my intentions to buy a house for like years. Mm-hmm. And with my whole life changing through the pandemic, I just didn't have the financial security. And then now I'm like sort of in a place where I was like, oh, I feel good about things. So I found it around Mother's Day. One of my followers was like, hey, I know you're looking for houses in Hillsdale. My mom's a real estate agent. She just listed this house. I think you might like it. I sent it to my agent. Like 2 seconds later, I was touring it, saw the house. I was like, the real estate agent who was showing it to me, not the girl's mother, another woman, was like crying the entire time she was showing it to me because her dog had just died. It was like, an empath and a people pleaser. I spent the entire time just talking to her about her dog that had just died instead of like looking at the house. So then I left the house. I went to get a club sandwich at the local diner with my real estate agent. And I was like, that's not the house for me. And she was like, yeah, okay, it's not. And then a week later, I was like, that's the house for me. And I was like, Gus, we have to go look at it. So we went and looked at it. And I made an offer that day. And that was right like late May. And then we closed about 2 months later.
Does it feel like your day-to-day existence feels any different knowing that you have this house to go to when you're not in the chaos of the city?
It does. Being up there is a total dream. Being down here in our new cutie little place, I'm obsessed. We just did our den and it looks amazing. It's really nice to have both. I feel really capable of doing it. The house is like sort of move-in ready, but I have a million things I want to do to it, but I'm taking my time because I don't have the time right now to do it. Mostly, it's really weird. I have this sort of like, I don't know if it's like postpartum, but like I'm really sad when the house is empty. You know what I mean?
It's giving mom.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, someone go stay at that house. Like, I'm begging my friends to like take the keys and just go stay there because I want to keep it like alive. And
yeah,
you know,
how far outside of the city is it?
2:15 if there's no traffic, 2.5. Genius. It's like perfect. Yeah.
Well,
You're coming.
I'm coming.
Doing a gay ass live podcast on my screened in porch.
On your screened in porch, we're going to be zooted and tooted. And after the show, what movie are we watching?
This show?
After we do the gay ass live show at your home, in the screened in porch, the festivities are over, but we want to watch a movie. What are we watching?
Well, the only movie that plays on my TV is The Family Stone.
And that is how God intended.
I know.
As a Christ follower, I'm glad that you. I'm glad that you dropped The Family Stone because we can always revisit.
I was wondering how early it would come up in the app.
You're right. Well, then let me get into a podcast question that I wanted to edit it because you've been on the podcast before.
Yes, famously.
Famously, and by the way, I shouldn't be saying this because you've already got enough good things going on, but your episode has been quite loved and downloaded a lot. And I just want you to know that.
That makes me so happy. I love coming on here because I talk about ass the entire time and eating it. And then my my 90% female straight audience comes and listens and they just get a whole different side of me and they're so down. You know what I mean?
And the fact that you had a follower tell you about the house and their real estate.
Oh, yeah. We are like, we're all watching out for each other.
Sisters. Like, sisters, sister.
The sisterhood? Are you kidding? Moms protect, moms supporting moms. Like
lesbians licking lesbians.
Oh, dream.
Dan, being back on the podcast, I want to ask a question that is not going back into your past of what made you gay, but I want you to tell me, in the last calendar year, what is the gayest thing or event or experience that you've been a part of that you're allowed to share on a recording?
The gayest thing or event that I've been a part of.
Or the gayest you have felt.
Oh my gosh. Well, speaking of upstate, so this actually like flowed out of me in the gayest way possible. And I was so proud of myself. My street that I bought on has like gays and lesbians, like every house. It's like a dream.
Dream.
And so down the street from me, there's actually Taylor and I went for a walk after dinner because it's a gorgeous walk. And we kind of stumbled upon these like lesbian couple in a farmhouse. And they have two little kids and they're adorable. One of them's a therapist, like obsessed, right? So we're chatting. They have a flower farm. They have landmates, which is a word I've never heard of before, but I'm obsessed because they have a very small house in their backyard and people live in it and they're their landmates. I learned a lot from them.
Chic.
So then my friend Casey and I, like 2 weeks later, are like walking by the house. It's after dinner. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just like, I'm so happy there's a like lesbians up the street. It makes me so happy. And the woman goes, I'm just want to say, like, we don't really respond to the word lesbian. Like, we don't use it. Like, it's just not for us. Like, we're queer. Right?
Interesting.
And she's a therapist, and it was very clear. It was very boundaried. I was like loving it, right? And I was like, oh, I was like, that's so good to know. Like, thank you, right? And in my head, I'm like, I'm gonna call them lesbians for the rest of my life, but like not to their face because it's so hard to remember all these things.
Right.
I totally respect it. Love it. Queer, 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 queer. And she goes, well, how do you like people to refer to you? And I was like, as a huge fucking faggot.
I was hoping you told the therapist faggot.
She literally was like took it in and was so sweet. And she was like, but like, so does everyone call you like every, like, and I was like, no, I was like, obviously like, but like, it's clear that I'm a huge faggot, like in like an old school sense of the word. Like, I'm not 23. Like, right. I'm a big fucking fag, you know?
But the fact that you've said you go through life asking for forgiveness and not permission, and this, queer therapist said to you that they have the boundary of wanting to be called queer, and you said, absolutely. And then you said, what am I, a big fucking faggot? That is so beautiful to wave your fag flag high. And also, not what you did that other people pleasers might have done, have been like, oh, well, I can't shine in the way that I want to because I want to cater to someone else's boundary. But no, you said, yeah, I love your boundary, and also this is me.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, like, for me, it wasn't about, like, it was not about being provocative or like, I love that she is queer and that's her thing. And truly, I didn't think, it just flowed out of me. And that's this is like the gayest thing that's happened in the past year for me, is that I spoke my truth and didn't think about it. Because if I did, the people pleaser in me might have just sort of said,
yes,
like, I'm queer too.
Yes, like, that
which is
exactly
a great thing to be. And I just want to also state for people that aren't clear, like, I say faggot proudly.
Yes.
In a very, very, very proud way. But it's not something that you say to other people if you're not also sort of like know them or understand them, right?
Well, and that's what's so beautiful about this correspondence, is that there was a safety between you. And I think you said this so well, which is that it flowed out of you in a way that was like not full of self-consciousness or shame. And that's the whole fucking point of my adult existence and the pod and the boo 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 boo, is to remove the barrier of like, should I say, should I be, should totally. I, and like, baby, I'm a big fucking fag too, and so proud of it. And totally. I look forward to the day that I'm walking through the land and I get to tell my gorgeous queer neighbors what I am while I'm also like flicking off the end of my fat fucking blunt. And that to me
exactly
is the dream. And that it's answer kind of could not dream. Have been better.
It's a great answer, because I'm also sort of like, there's no question, like, everyone, like, no one knows that I'm so visibly gay and proud of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one really took me, and I love it. And I love your question.
Thank you. Well, I think this is a good segue then to get into some of the things I love so much about the book. And I'm going to grab it, just even though I have these written down, I'm just going to grab it to keep it close to me. But there's a lot of things that I want to dive into. The first being, giving us a little peek into your history. In your thank yous, you single out Ina Garten and you say, quote, "You taught me it's possible to have a presence in food that feels like a warm hug." Full circ to this fucking book being a warm hug. And before I get into why it is such a warm hug, can you tell me, like, how young were you when Ina Garten, when Barefoot Contessa would come on, and like, when did she start to affect your essence?
I think it was like high school. I'm trying to think. I'm 41, about 20. Yeah, I think she's been doing this for like 20, a little over 20 years. Like late high school, college, you know, she just like, I was a Food Network girly, like all in, but her show was the show. And I think it was because she was surrounded by beauty. She was doing her own thing. She didn't have kids running around in the backyard. She had her gays doing the tables and the flowers and stuff.
Oh my God. Matt and I were watching it yesterday. Matt has not actually watched a lot of Barefoot Contessa. So he turned it on and there was an episode where it was an older episode when her gays were over. And one of them was the director of Chicago.
Of course. Yeah. Craig Zidane.
Rob Ashford. Something. No, that's not him.
Rob Marshall.
Thank you. It was Rob Marshall.
Yeah.
God, I'm fucking canceled. Yeah, it was. So like, I do think that in this like, time when
Rob
when
Marshall food, coming over for dinner, like huge fucking faggot.
Oh yeah. And like the episode, they were all like wrapping prosciutto around long like breadsticks.
Yeah, truly.
But I think like when the Food Network stuff, when we were first watching, especially the girlies, I do feel like a lot of men probably would have felt emasculated if they were like, I watch the cooking show. So I feel like early on, it was like a lot of the gays and the girls.
Oh, totally.
Nowadays, there's much less of a stigma, I think, because cooking has become, I would say, a lot more.
Cross genre.
But you absolutely were fagging out watching Ina.
And like, I was like sort of unabashedly doing whatever I wanted. Like I was playing with Barbies when I was a little kid. I was like cooking constantly. I was like, you know, basically like making cookies for boys who were like, didn't know that I had crushes on them when I was like nine. You know what I mean? Like I was sort of like watching all the cooking shows. I was like making, I would make my sister order the like hemp bracelet kit from
bracelet.
Like I was like, can you ask mom for this like hemp bracelet kit with the beads so I can like use it from like, I think it was whatever the catalog was. Anyways, like I just was like I don't know, my family was very sort of like, you do you, you're creative, like live, laugh, love. I was like, you know, redecorating my bedroom 5 times as a child, you know.
If a gay person is lucky, they're born with the skills of design, cooking, yes, and social gab. And I do think that you were gifted with all of them. Oh. But the thing that I love about the book, too, is the energy of your family coming through. And one of the ways it comes through is, if we can shout out your photographer, the photos are unfucking real.
It's rare. My whole team was gay, like queers, gays, lesbians, everyone on the team.
Well, it's queer excellence because the photos, I obviously like, I love a good cookbook, and Matt really, like, we have a lot. And I love, of course, the photos of the food and layouts in many books. But your book in particular, it's like, of course, the food is gorgeous, but like, it's the type of thing when you're flipping the pages and you see the actual gatherings and your family, it makes the recipes feel even more real and like the hug. Did you, had you known the photographer before the book?
Yeah, so I hadn't shot with a ton of professional photographers, but Andrew came to my house for another project that was for a magazine, and I just like loved his energy. I thought his photo was really beautiful, and you know, he hadn't shot a lot of, he shot a lot of food, but he hadn't shot a cookbook.
Yeah,
or like a cookbook with the amount of, like amount of photos I had. He had shot like a smaller cookbook, which is great. And I was just like, you know, there's like 5 photographers that everyone uses for cookbooks in New York City. And I was like, fuck that. Like, I want to use someone who's never shot a I'm going to say never shot a book. It's not, it's like he shot one, but he's shot a lot more now. But, you know, I just was like, there's got to be like fresh energy. I want a new perspective. Like, I just want, he put together an incredible like proposal for what he wanted to do that was like, basically, are you reading my mind?
Wow.
And it just all came together. It was great.
Which is, it's so cool because the photos, in particular of your family members. I mean, when I opened and saw the dedication page and your fucking grandfather's photo.
Stop.
Stick a fork.
Yeah.
Dunzo. I mean, how old is he again, Bimpy?
He's 101.
101. You still, when you post about when you still have meals with him, it's like, what a special relationship. What is it like? He was born, obviously, in a very different time. Mm-hmm. Was there an experience with Bimpy that you either like introducing a boyfriend, or was there any time that felt like there was a learning curve? Yeah. What was the experience like talking to someone from such a different time about your being gay?
Well, I think, you know, I haven't ever said to Bimpy, like, I'm gay.
Yeah.
But I do think that because, like I said, I'm a big faggot, and clearly, I think he kind of gets it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has met Gus 100 times. And he loves Gus, and he's the every time I get on the phone with him, Bimpy calls me all the time. He's always like, "How's Gus? How's he doing?" He's like, "He's a good guy." And when we moved in together, he was like, "It's just you're just so lucky you get to live with your partner, and I'm so happy you're living with such a good guy." Like, he loves saying you're a good guy, and it's really, really sweet. And like, he just. Like, Gus and I were just, like, sobbing.
That makes me want to cry.
But early on, I think the second time Gus and Bimpy met was, like, June. Like, we were together for, like, 3 or 4 months. And it was my sister's house. And Bimpy couldn't really figure out what was happening. And he's leaving. And he loves to have, like, Bimpy's in the car and the window's open. And you're on the other side sort of chatting. And he goes, Gus, is Danny like a father figure to you? And Gus, because of course we like play into roles.
Of course.
Gus literally gagged. He was just like, did Bimpy just like call me all the things correctly? And I was like, yeah, he knows it.
And then in the Sex and the City episode, it cuts to him going, "Daddy, Daddy."
Yeah,
daddy,
exactly. Daddy.
And then
exactly.
You're the Samantha fucking. There's something about a gorgeous grandfather story like that, and I want to lean into the goodness of it all, but I think to do that, I need to like acknowledge that there canonically, I think a lot of straight men aren't always, of course, the most hospitable to gayness, and it's definitely changing. But when you hear of someone like Bimpy, who is from such a different time, is, you know, has such a big, beautiful family, and can just like say that Gus is a good guy and he's so happy that you have found each other, like that is
it's so
unreal. Sweet. And just his energy in that photo and in the book, it's something that I feel his love, and the man does not know me. Like, I do not know him.
He would love you, and he would know possibly that you're gay. But
what do you mean? Why
would he know? I don't know. It might just be like obvious. But like, I have two things to say that I think he'll love. One, I think, you know, Bimpy has always sort of like in his infinite wisdom, which comes with age, sort of been able to sort of like float beyond all the drama and get to like a really clear moment, which I've always loved. Like when my parents got divorced, when his wife died, when my uncle, like he's been through a lot, and he always like the things that come out of his mouth, you're like, to be that wise, you know what I mean? And to know what's important, you know?
Jealous.
And the second thing is, when he met Gus for the first time, he was like, "So what do you do?" And Gus was like, "I direct plays. Like, I'm a theater director." And he goes, "Oh, so you work with Jennifer Lopez? Oh, she's beautiful. I love Jennifer. Have you ever seen that movie she's in? Oh, you got to see this movie. There's a Next Door Neighbor, a kid in high school, and she's beautiful." He literally watched the Boy Next Door, which is like the J-Lo movie about like her fucking like a high schooler or something. I don't know what it's about, but she gets like kind of naked in it. And Bimpy, it was like on HBO 7, like on a loop for like 2 years, and it was all he watched. And Bimpy literally is convinced that Gus and J-Lo are like actively producing plays together.
Well, you can't knock Bimpy for going from theater, which is A, to C, Jennifer Lopez fucking a teenager on HBO 7.
Yeah, on HBO 7. So I just like that trajectory is that might also be the gay thing that happened to me 4 years ago.
I was going to say, that's a pretty fucking... I was hoping he was going to say, oh, so you work with Jennifer Lopez, yeah, who helped plan Matthew McConaughey's wedding, yeah, but then ended up marrying him herself.
Yeah. The other thing that happened to me with Bimpy, like, probably like 9 years ago, was he lived with my Uncle Phil, who was like very into queer culture, but also like straight, never really came out.
Sure.
But my nieces were like 2 and 4, and like we were playing in the yard, and one of them like fell during a game, and he literally said, like, sashay away. And I was like, Bimpy quoting RuPaul, because I knew that my uncle was like making him watch Drag Race. Well, and he like, it was incredible.
Bimpy is not only an ally, but he's a sponge can recreate.
He also recently came out as a side, which is wild.
I thought he was a power bottom.
You're like, I thought he was a top. What's so confusing?
Yeah, wait.
Oh, we have to stop now. I actually have to go drink some bleach. Okay, sorry. I've taken up too much time with Bimpy stories, but he is a national treasure.
National treasure, and there's never too much time. But since we are on your family, can you confirm or deny Aunt Chris? You have a cheesecake from Aunt Chris in the book.
When you spell Aunt Chris, the legend.
We love Aunt Chris, but Chris is also spelled as in Chris. Is Aunt Chris a lesbian?
No, but she would make a fucking sick lesbian.
Okay, I'm just confirming.
She like chain smokes cigarettes, but she's actually a former hairdresser who works in a quilt shop now, and she's incredible. Oh. And
so she's a reincarnated gay man.
Yeah, she gave Gus a quilted Christmas tree when we saw her over the holidays for his apartment. And he kept it and actually like put it out. It's so cute. She's amazing. God, and she's an incredible cook. She's my mom's sister. Chris is short for Christine.
We love Aunt Christine.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to tell you that I love about the book is at the beginning of it, there's like the most brilliant guide to menu planning, where it says like the type of recipes if you want to feed a crowd. There's if you like everyone's a vegetarian, if I'm too lazy to cook. Was this a brainchild of Grossi Pelosi, or was this something from a brainstorm session with the team?
No, this was fully me, because like, so you have to remember, like, or maybe you don't know, or maybe you don't need to remember this, but like I grew this brand during the pandemic, mm-hmm, and I fielded endless DMs of questions. Mm. And so this book is a direct response to all the questions I got, right? Mm. So I literally have gotten questions like, hey, I don't feel like cooking. What should I make? Hey, my in-laws are coming over. I want them to love me. Like, hey, I want my boyfriend to fuck me tonight. Like, hey, I'm going on a first date. Hey, like, you know, everyone's a vegetarian. Like, literally, like, what do I cook for? So all of these are... And the whole book, quite literally, like I made the egg chapter primarily recipes that you could make to serve people a meal at breakfast, because cooking eggs for a crowd is really difficult. And I get that question all the time. I also get like, how do you fry an egg? How do you fry an egg? How do you hard boil an egg? How do you soft boil an egg? How do you scramble an egg? So I'm all the Grossi guides are a response to all the questions. So I was blessed with this like questions, which I then took and made a book out of.
It's genius, because I think for someone who is seeing the book and not making the connection between the Instagram, the social media, it is answering all these things that's like before you can even ask the question.
Yeah.
And I think that
that's the goal.
We just got this new table that's like the big news in our house, because our last table was only seats four. Now we can finally have like up to 8 people.
Amazing.
And so we're going to have thank you so much. And Matt is like loves to cook. He is so fucking excited to make every recipe in this. And we're having a Shabbat dinner in a couple weeks. Great. And so we're trying to figure out like, you know, we have friends who do have the dietary restrictions, and what's the vibe? And this book is answering that. This is a question that I wanted to ask you just selfishly as like another creative person, but I think that a lot of people listening would get something out of this. When you were building Grossi Pelosi during the pandemic, and just like as a creative person, when did you get to the point where you knew you needed to start delegating work to like other people? Like, I know you have this stunning team now.
Yes.
And when did you decide that it was the time to take that chance on yourself?
As soon as I had a literal extra penny, because you have to remember, I was a career creative director. So when my last job, I was managing up to 15 people and I was truly like guiding the vision, but I wasn't doing a lot of the like day-to-day stuff. I was like directing a team and I had like kind of like, you know, really sort of like seriously climbed the ladder. And so I found myself in my kitchen alone during the pandemic doing everything. And so I would say pandemic was March. In August, Pinterest called me, like literally the team at Pinterest, which is like, as a Pinterest mom, that was huge.
Yeah.
And they were like, hi, we want to like make you one of our like creators and we want to like do all this stuff. And I was like, oh my God, like I don't even have a grossy Pinterest. I have my Dan Pelosi personal Pinterest, which is like not for public consumption. It was just random shit. So I called my friend Kristen, who I met in high school, and she runs her own thing and she her own branding agency. And I was like, you're a Pinterest queen. Will you build out a whole grossy Pinterest? So she built up my whole Pinterest page. And then I was like, oh my gosh, can you help me with the logo? Can you do this? Can you do that? Although I guess before Kristen, I did launch my merch in April of 2020, which was like a month after this all started, which is wild.
Yeah.
So I hired Rooney. Do you know Rooney? He lives in LA.
Hey, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Rooney did all my branding and all my stuff and all my merch and still does some stuff with me, except he didn't work on the book, but really sort of set the tone. So yeah, so I hired Rooney, but that was like hourly. Kristen, I like brought on and had her work for me as much as I could. And it really just allowed me to produce more. And now I have, when I got the book deal, I was like, I'm not doing this alone. I can't do this alone. I don't know how to write a book, you know? So I'm all about like team effort, bringing everyone in. Like, this is how I live my life. I spent my childhood in the kitchen with my mom and my aunts or my grandparents. You know, like I didn't go to my room and hang out by myself like most children.
Yeah.
I was like, so what's up to like everyone?
And I think that's also partly why it's so great to talk to you, because you probably were conditioned to be a part of the gossip, to get the deets.
Fully. Oh, I have to. This recipe in the exact spirit of that energy. The biscotti, the biscotti recipe. First of all, like, I think it's my favorite photo in the book, or one of them, this recipe here.
Oh, also, yeah, like, I saw that.
Sandpaper. The head note and the energy of this recipe is like after every family meal, the aunties and my mom would sit and have their espresso and their biscotti and like talk about everything. And I would be like six and like taking notes. It's how I learned. And the guys would be like watching sports or like whatever. And I was with the girls like at the table learning everything. And that photo is like it.
Any chance we get to thank the women in our lives, especially for being the safe space growing up and the like. And like, obviously, you know, we love the men in our family, but
totally,
like,
we love everyone. But yeah, they all
we love everyone. But there's a different function of like the sisterhood. And I mean, and it also speaks, I think, to your followers, too, of like the women who are supportive and listening to ass eating conversation. And it's just like, it's something that I will never take for granted. And I want to thank,
I will never either
thank them from the bottom of my gaping hole.
Okay. I also just want to say my mom's cleaning guide is part of that sisterhood thing. Cause my mom and my sister will clean the fuck out of a house. And my mom comes to visit me and goes ham on my house because while I do have that energy, I will never clean enough for my mother. So she comes and tears my house apart. And I show that all the time on my Instagram. And people are like, I need to know. So my mom, I was like, mom, can you write down all your kitchen cleaning tips? And I said, can you send them to me? I thought she would email them. She wrote them down on a notepad and mailed them to me. Like, so cute. So that's all her own words. That whole
It's giving Pride and Prejudice. It's
writing. Really sweet. So that's like a huge Pelosi family sisterhood secrets. Like,
I'm glad that you brought this up because so many family traditions, secrets, and times. But as a person who comes from another, you know, loud family, you talk about in I think your intro how you have the basement kitchens and how both sets of grandparents were close by.
Yes.
If you're okay answering this, was there ever, just to humanize your fucking gorgeous family, was there ever a boundary issue?
Oh, literally like nonstop. Okay, first of all, my grandparents were not close to each other. They lived next door to each other.
Oh, my
God. Next door, like property line. Like my mom's parents and my dad's parents are next door neighbors because my parents met because they were next door neighbors.
Oh.
And so when I grew up, I was like, doesn't everyone's grandparents live next door to each other? Nope, just mine, which lends to an already dramatic family. Being just like people like screaming at each other from backyards when things, because like my mom left my dad at one point, that was really bad. But before anyone was around, my grandparent, my grandfather Bimpy, and then my grandfather Papa John, they did not like they were like at each other's throats in their like 30s.
Really?
You know what I mean? So there's like levels of sort of like moments of kind of like drama. Everyone was chill, but there was some real, and then when they got older, they were sort of the only two left, John and Bimpy. And like, you'd think two like older men in their late 90s would be like, hey, how you doing? Like, no.
Don't speak.
Next door neighbors.
See, that's what I needed. I needed a little dose.
No. There is like, I mean, I keep it really positive because like, that's sort of like my joy is what I focus on. But there's so much tea. I mean, it's hysterical.
I mean,
love we're Italians.
Tea.
Like, they're like in Portuguese.
Well, I think that something that I have struggled with and I'm continuing to work on is the nuance of just like, with the success comes the struggle and the boop, boop, boop. It's like, my brain, I think, was conditioned as a kid to be very black and white, hot and cold. And it's hard for me sometimes to see the gray area. And so, like, to know, like a question would be for you, with, if you're looking back since March 2020 and you're now, you know, having this incredible book come out, what was the moment for you that, like, did you ever feel like you were in above your head or like you didn't feel up to all of these things?
Nonstop. I mean, I am forever imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Forever, like, no one's gonna like these recipes. I mean, this book, our little girl here, I'm so in love with her now. But like, I was the roller coaster of like, love, 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 love. Oh my God, I hate this book. I hate this book.
Yeah.
Oh my God, no one's going to like it. It's going to be a total failure. I hate everything. I hate everything. Oh, I love it. Was a real thing. I cried a lot. I got in fights. Like, I was like, I mean, and like, not like, I'm not being like, I'm an, like, it just like, it was a lot. Like, it's a passion project. It was also my one chance, Fancy Don't Let Me Down. Like, I want to write more books. Like, I want this book to sell. Like, this is my, like, someone's like, hey, I want your dream. Your dream's going to come true. You're going to write a cookbook. And so then you're like, oh, yeah, the pressure of that is crazy.
I had
to keep it a secret. I didn't tell anyone about it.
For how long?
Well, until I'm telling my followers, I didn't announce it till March, but I was working on it for a year and a half.
Jesus H. So it's like, yeah, there's, on top of it, I think it's kind of like a feeling of like, is this for naught because no one knows about it?
Yeah, it's crazy because I'm like trying to like get recipes out to people, but I'm also trying to write things. But like, it's like, it was wild.
Well, then
I can't wait to do it again if I can.
I mean, truly. And I think you fucking will, because it is just the start of something good. And you're going on this book tour. Is Gus going to be joining you in any of these cities? And what debauchery do you want to get down to?
So Gussie has been working his little tail off in the city so that he can afford to come with me on basically the whole tour. There's a few dates he's not coming, but thank God, because when I talk about Gus, like, there's no one more supportive and loving and interested in me having a successful, healthy book tour. And he has been ordering he has a whole section of like keep Grossi alive during book tour that he is going to put in his suitcase. And he's like talking to my Pilates instructor about what I need to like do the exercises. Like, he's helping me like take that stuff off, that load off of me. And he's like, we're going to do a foot soak every night. Like, he's like dealing. He's an angel from heaven.
A saint. Is his love language acts of service, you would say?
It's acts of service and it's affirmations. Like, no one tells me they love me 17 to 18 times a day except for Gus.
Fuck, Gus.
And I would have wanted to die before therapy, but now that I've been on the other side of therapy, that is actually really sweet. But if anyone told me they love me, that was a hot guy, prior to that, I would have screamed and run away and run directly towards all the hot guys who didn't want me and beg them to be with me.
Is it because you thought that's what you deserved or just like what you were willing to let in?
It was both.
Yeah.
Also, like, I like to work for it.
So you thought if it was coming too easy, then it's not worth it, or why is this happening?
I want to work for it. Gus told me the other day that I'm addicted to work. Like, I'm a hard worker.
I believe that. I mean,
for all things.
Well, the speed with which you answer DMs is
psychotic. It's a problem.
Does Gus ever tell you to get off your phone?
No, he knows that he knows that, like, when I'm on my bed belly down staring at my phone, it's like gonna be a 30-minute thing and then I'll be done. But I try to compartmentalize it. He calls me. He's like, "Oh babe, are you doing your stories?" And I'm like, "Yes, I'm doing my stories."
Well, listen, we love Gus. We love this fucking book. We love what is to come and even more.
How is this over? Is this over?
It's just about over. Can you believe that?
I'm so sad.
Wait, your hat says Barefoot Contessa. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, this is my Barefoot Contessa hat.
Oh my God. I love that.
Isn't that the best? Can we just for a minute talk about you?
Sure.
You haven't. I love when I listen to your podcast, I love hearing the you of it all. And
oh my God,
it makes me so happy. Also, you said something to Johnny Sibilli the other day that I wanted to bring up, but I don't remember what it was, but I screamed and howled.
Oh wow, I love that.
It was so good.
If I may say one thing about me, is that to hear that you even say that you listened to the Johnny episode and that you enjoy that, it's my imposter syndrome, and it has been something that has been such a top priority that I've worked so hard at, and to like be able to take that in with just like the joy that you're giving it is a gift. And if I may manifest, like you manifested the book and the house and all of that, I'm manifesting just continuing to do what we're doing here, but on a bigger and bigger scale. I cannot wait to celebrate it over a fucking blunt and biscotti in your upstate home.
It's going to happen. You're an absolute like joy. And I listen to your podcast. You're doing it. You do live shows. Like, do you know how nervous I was to be on stage for 3 seconds? You were out there in your sparkly top giving it all. Like, I was obsessed. It's really
well,
special.
The obsession is so two-wayed on this street. And before we say goodbye, I'm going to have us both hold up our books and I'm going to take a photo. And then it's going to be something I'll treasure forever. So Dan Grossi Pelosi, since we are at the end of this episode, tell the dolls not only where to follow, but where to get this unreal book.
Thank you so much. You can follow me on Instagram, TikTok, and Threads, and the other thing at Grossi Pelosi, GrossiPelosi. Would love to have you. And you can buy the book wherever bookstores sold starting on September 5th. You can also, more importantly, pre-order the book. I don't know when this is airing, but whatever, if it's before 9/5, pre-order. After 9/5, order it from bookstores. Go to bookstores. Join me on book tour. You can go to danpelosi.com/tour. I'm coming to Los Angeles where I will see Eric for sure.
Yes.
And I'm going to a lot of places. And if you see me, tell my boyfriend thank you for me, for keeping me alive. And I just hope that you all enjoy the book if you buy it as much as I do.
Hell fucking yeah. It's obviously all going to be linked in the description. Thank you to Grossi Pelosi. Thank you to Gus for keeping him alive. And Dan, I will see you in LA and continue the celebration.
I can't wait. Let's eat.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.